economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
All right, welcome. Glad you are with us. We're going to be joined by Leo Holman. We finished up our series on Andrew Jackson. We're going to be joined here in just one moment by Leo Holman. We're going to talk about several things that are in the news. Are we on our way to World War III? Government's warning of nuclear war. Government's warning to make sure that your populations have all the medicines on hand for radiological poisoning. We have, again, now the things we've been talking about for years that were considered cuckoo going mainstream. Tucker Carlson last night talking about deliberately created food shortages. Deliberately created food shortages. Oh, wait a minute. Who's been talking about that? Yes, we have in my series early last year, or maybe it was the year before, The Great Collapse is Necessary for the Great Reset. And I gave you the various F's for controlling people. Food, finances, firearms. Get the firearms away from them. Family health care, deny family health care, use family health care, tracking COVID, COVID passports, etc. And I just kept going through the various F's that I'd come up with that would be used to control people. Obviously, food and finances. We have, again, central banks and nations, China, Russia, stocking up on massive amounts of gold. And now we have hens, not laying eggs. Very interesting. And now that has made the TV of Fox News. So again, very interesting. The things that we talk about that finally make it onto Fox News after Fox News insults our intelligence and plays controlled opposition and doublespeak. Remember, this is the same faux news that told us that if we were talking about COVID coming out of a lab, that was conspiracy theory. Now that's readily accepted and embraced. You know, so many of the things we have questioned over the years, like, that's kind of weird, Building 7 coming down in New York, where the owner says, well, we decided to pull the building. Really? And you pull Building 7, which most Americans know nothing about Building 7. How do you pull a building in the middle of the largest terrorist attack on the lower 48 ever? You know? The largest attack on America by a foreign power, so-called, since Pearl Harbor. But that was not the lower 48. But somehow they had time while fighting the fires and the collapsing building 1 and 2 of the World Trade Centers. They had time to go in and plant explosives so they could, quote, pull Building 7. And now we have, of course, for years, talked about the engineers, the architects, the firefighters, who said something was really odd that day. The buildings, show me a steel building that caught fire and collapsed like that anywhere in the world. But if you question it, you're a conspiracy theorist. But of course, so much of what we have questioned over the years now is going, well, more and more mainstream. Joining me now is Leo Holman, journalist, author, researcher, associate producer for WVW-TV and Lindell TV extraordinaire. Leo, welcome back.
Hello, Brannon. How are you?
I am surviving the apocalypse. Did you know the apocalypse came to the Mid-South today?
I heard something about, what is it, sleet and freezing rain?
No, that's what they were saying was coming. Guess what we got?
What, snow?
Nothing.
Nothing!
They were predicting a quarter inch to half an inch of ice, and everybody went cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. They were literally at our local grocery store by two reports of two people that were there. They were at the checkout lines all the way back to the wall, the end of the store, the back of the wall, at all the clerks' checkout counters, from the checkout counter to the back of the store against the back wall with shopping carts, everybody panicking because we might get a little ice. Now, I said,
could you imagine, Brannon, if we had a real event?
Thank you. That's where I was going. Can you imagine if we had a real event? I mean, come on. Apparently, these people don't have, you know, a few days worth of food. A few days.
Or Not even a few. Right.
Or even a week or two. Okay. Yeah, but you and I, we're fine, right? We're fine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the last place I'm going to be if we have a major, you know, they call them SHTF events. I guess we can use the acronym on here, right?
I guess.
The last place I'm going to be is at Kroger or Walmart.
Yeah. Well, I'm in good shape. I have my supply of freeze-dried food that I've been storing up since 2013. I think we shipped you a bunch, didn't we, Leo?
You shipped me, I think it was a six-month supply, yeah.
Yeah, I think we did. You need a little more
than
that.
You may have thrown in an extra month. I may have 7 months supply.
Yeah, I shipped some to my parents. Yeah, I shipped
Excellent.
Some to my parents. And, of course, I want everybody on my team to have what they need so that we can keep operating.
Yeah, I mean, I have a good little story about that. My parents bought some of that freeze-dried food, like, 30 years ago, maybe 35 years ago, and they've never opened it. And last year, they said, you know, we might want to open this and try it to see if it's still worth having on the shelf. And so they opened up the packages, poured some water in, followed the instructions. They said it was delicious.
You know what?
It was.
They can't advertise, I don't think, beyond like 25 years, but they tell me
right.
The shelf life is way beyond that. They just can't say it is.
That's living proof that it is, right?
Isn't that something? Well, so anyway, we're surviving the apocalypse here in the Mid-South. The threat of a quarter inch, a half an inch of sleet shut everything down, schools, everything closed because it might happen. And again, it's a great sign of, you know, my wife said the same thing this morning. She brings me coffee every morning to wake me up. I bring her hot tea. We have a little, we have a trade-off. I bring hot tea every night after I get off the air. I make a pot of hot tea on a tray with our cups. And we take it into the bedroom and retire for the evening. And I work on my laptop and read and prepare and study for the next day. And she does this reading and book work and all the stuff she's in charge of. And I pour her a cup of hot tea from my side of the nightstand and hand it to her. So I do that, and then she brings me coffee every morning. So we trade off. So this morning she wakes me up with a cup of coffee, and I said, "Is there all right with the world? Or are we frozen and shut in and into the world as we know it?"
Yeah.
She said, "Oh, what do you think?" I said, "I'm assuming nothing, because they love to hype all this and nothing happens." She said, "No, it's nothing. Everybody's come into work. Everybody's here. The roads are fine. And, so there's been a few slick spots on some bridges. But everybody's come into work and everything's fine. The roads were fine and clear." So I said, "Isn't that interesting?" She said, "Yeah." And her response was, "And what do you think's going to happen, like you said, Leo, if something really happens? What we saw at the local grocery store last night, I mean,
right.
What do you think is going to happen if something really, really bad happens? I mean, these people are going to lose their minds." She was actually one of the people that was at the store and saw it. Another one is sitting in the back of the studio right now, my former youth pastor from I've known since sixth grade. He was actually there, too. He's in town from Minnesota. He was there. He saw it as well. And she said that people were running around, you know, like chickens with their head cut off, you know, trying to scoop up everything, you know,
right.
Cleaning out the bread, the milk, everything. I'm like, again, what do these people think is going to happen if it all shuts down for several weeks to several months, Leo?
Well, that is why, Brannon, was it Dr. Peter Pry who predicted that if we had a major EMP attack, 90% of Americans would be dead within a year?
Yes.
Was that him?
Yeah, it was him. It was an actual study. He was the chairman, the chief of staff of the Congressional EMP Commission. They had a study conducted that it wasn't his study, but he would quote it. They had a scientific study done and conducted that showed that 90% of Americans would be dead within a year if the power was out for a year due to disease, starvation, and societal unrest.
Right, right.
So
that is frightening.
now let's.
And so that means half of them would probably be dead within 4 to 5 months.
Yep. Now let's take the fact we have many existential threats facing us, and one of them is a manufactured food crisis. Now
right.
You and I have been talking about this for a long time. We talked about when it came out in, I think, July of 2020. I have to go back and check. But sometime in 2020, the Rockefellers put out a Reset the Table document that I started talking about on the air. And I thought, you know, anytime the Rockefellers start telling you they're going to nationalize the food, you know, that means that's what they're going to do, right? The same way the Rockefellers were behind Lockstep, which was the 2010 report that looked like and sounded like coronavirus in 2020, but it was written in 2010. So now we're starting to realize, many are in the mainstream corporate media, like Tucker Carlson, who may realize a lot of stuff he's not allowed to say. But last night, I want to share with you what Tucker Carlson had to say last night and have you respond. Here's Tucker Carlson last night.
March at a press conference in Brussels, Joe Biden explained that the sanctions he was imposing against Russia, while morally necessary, were also going to cause food shortages around the world, including here in the United States. It's going to be real, he said. Now, Biden said this in a very odd way. There was no hint or panic, emotions you'd expect from a leader predicting the deaths of human beings from starvation. None of that. Instead, there was pure nonchalant casualness. Biden could have been describing the weather or a trip to the dry cleaners. It's going to be real. Then, Biden continued, recounting a conversation he'd had with European allies, he told us all about it. When he met with the group, Biden said, they spoke about, quote, how we could increase and disseminate more rapidly food shortages. That's what Joe Biden said, verbatim. It's on tape. So here you have the president of the United States pledging to increase food shortages at a press conference. Now, that seemed like a newsworthy event, but not a single news organization in this country seemed to notice it happened, nor did the White House correct it. But others were watching, so within days, that clip wound up on social media, and Facebook flagged it immediately as, quote, false news. Now, strictly speaking, that's untrue. There's nothing false about the video. It was entirely real. No one can test that. But apparently, Facebook users were supposed to understand that Joe Biden is senile, and therefore he's not accountable for his own words. Taking Joe Biden literally qualifies as, quote, misinformation. Now, we'll leave that whole episode for you to assess. We can't know what Joe Biden was thinking, if anything, when he uttered those words in Brussels. We can only tell you what happened afterward. Strange disasters began to beset food processors all over the United States. In April, the next month, the headquarters of one of this country's largest organic food distributors was destroyed in a fire, cause unknown. The next month, in a single week actually, two separate private plane crashes took out two separate food processing centers. One plane hit a General Mills plant in Georgia. The other plane hit a food plant in Idaho. By the way, back in February, a boiler explosion obliterated a potato processing plant in Oregon, and so on. So even people who aren't given to connecting the dots, who don't think of themselves as conspiracy nuts, began to wonder, is there something here? But no one could tell. The Biden administration had no answers and no way to get to the answers because they had no data. And that's interesting because the Biden administration tracks a lot of things, the things that it cares about.
All right, we'll stop it there. So Biden says we're going to cause food shortages. And now Tucker Carlson reports this is a major national security threat last night. All right. Good job, Tucker. Maybe Tucker should come over here to Lindell TV and work with us where we could really turn the boy loose, right? I mean, can you imagine what Tucker could say and would say if he weren't constrained by faux news, corporate headquarters? We'll get that response from Leo Holman. Last week, I took the founding fathers and early presidents on a tour of Washington, D.C. Leo wrote it up into an article, and even a former U.S. Congresswoman took note of it. We'll tell you about it when we come back. Don't go away. All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. Leo, you want to respond to what we were hearing Tucker say before I moved the player forward and play another soundbite from his show last night?
Yeah. Rather than just incompetence, which of course it is, I think what could be going on here when Biden makes off-the-wall comments like that that sound so bizarre that the mainstream media can't even respond to it, and just racks it up as, you know, Joe being Joe, who's senile. I think there's more going on to it. I feel that what he's doing is he's speaking out of school. He's not disciplined enough, given his declining mental capability, to know when to keep secrets. And so when things are said in the room with his handlers, I'm sure they try not to tell him everything, but of course he's the president, so you've got to tell him some things about what's going on. Let's think back in what was it? I guess it was around October of 2020, a few weeks before the election. Joe Biden was in Michigan, in the Detroit area, and he said something equally bizarre at that point. He told the audience, "I don't need your support to get elected. I don't need your help to get elected. I don't need your help to get elected. I need your support after I get elected." And so he also said one time that we have the, pre-election 2020, that we have the most, organized and complete voter fraud organization in history. And so these are things that I don't believe he's just coming up with out of thin air. He must have heard these things somewhere, and he's speaking out of school. So that could have been what was going on here with this case that Tucker was talking about. Don't you agree, perhaps?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, this is absolutely coordinated. I mean, you don't tell 3,000 Dutch farmers, close down your farms. You know, you don't do all the things that they're trying to do, letting China buy up farmland. Bill Gates buying up massive amounts of farmland for what? Just to lay it dormant so that you know, you can't raise cattle and crops? I mean, you don't have these things happening. And we're about to get to another clip by Tucker Carlson. Let me mention real quick, if I can, at WVWTVstore.com, I'll announce it to this audience last night and tonight, we're making February free freight February, meaning we've taken down all of the shipping costs for emergency food and supplies. We have had some people, particularly those on fixed incomes, reach out to me and say, "Brandon, we went to purchase it and we could afford the emergency supplies, but then we added in the freight. It pushed it out of our financial ability to obtain it." So we have been working over here on how we can get our shipping costs down. It's taken us a month. It's taking us more than a month to find ways and negotiate with carriers to get our shipping cost down. And it's taken us hours. I'm talking hours we really don't have to do this. We have spent hours and hours and hours working, filling out forms, talking with people on the phone, again, filling out more forms, and trying to find ways to get a better deal on our freight and our shipping so we can bring the cost down drastically for our audience, because we are having, again, particularly some older folks on fixed income saying, "We want some emergency supplies. We budgeted for it, but then the freight ended up pushing it out of our reach financially." I understand that, but the freight is what the freight is with the cost of everything today. So we've been working, as I said. I think we've gotten the price where we can offer now for at least February, as we test it out, no freight. So again, if you want to order emergency supplies, which are a big part of our general operating budget, we offer a service to our people. It's a service to our people. It's a reasonable profit in there in order to help sustain and grow our network and sustain the thousands and thousands of dollars a month we acquire in bandwidth bills by pushing out free programming, which literally between the storage and the bandwidth bills is thousands of dollars. We haven't even talked yet about all the associate producers that work for us, helping us produce the content. So again, It's a big part of our general operating budget. We're offering a service. So for the month of February, we're announcing it now. It's started now. We're offering zero freight on these emergency supplies at WVWTVstore.com. WVWTVstore.com. Find more information there. If you prefer to order over the phone, you can do that. And if it's busy, either leave a voicemail or you can text your name and number to this number, and they will get back to you as quick as they can. 901-468-9357. 901-468-9357 is the number. This is only for that process, that purpose. 901-468-9357 or WVWTVstore.com. So we're going to see how that goes for the month of February starting now. And again, hopefully for some of you that because again, for some of you, what you were trying to order a year or two supply was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I mean, sometimes $700, $800, $900 in shipping. So again, we're going to try and see if this we can make all this work so everybody wins. All right. So there you go. Now, let's go back to Tucker because I moved it forward on the player. I want to have you hear what he said last night. Again, you're shocked that Fox News is even covering this. But welcome to the club, Tucker. Here we go.
This commercial egg farm in central Connecticut burned to the ground for no obvious reason. Huge fire. At least 20 fire departments responded, fought the blaze for over 8 hours. More than 100,000 chickens died. Now, that's a sad story. But what's interesting is that most media companies did not consider it a story at all. Weird, considering egg prices have become an actual problem for most Americans. Egg prices are up more than 100% in many places. And yet, at that exact moment, when eggs are a concern, 100,000 chickens die in a freak fire. And the New York Times, which is right next door in a neighboring state, does not even cover the fire? What is that? Don't worry. Things like this have nothing to do with egg prices, say the media. It's just avian flu. Watch.
Egg consumption has grown over the years as many people are eating them as their main protein source. But the production has slumped because of the ongoing bird or avian flu epidemic. Over the last year, the USDA says nearly 58 million birds have been infected in the U.S., making it the deadliest outbreak in U.S. history. Unfortunately, the infected birds have to be killed, causing the egg supplies to fall and prices to surge. In some cases, stores are running out and limiting the amount people can buy.
We bought eggs earlier this week here at Fry's in Levine. We paid $8.99 for a dozen eggs.
So if you ask the Agriculture Department, for example, or anyone in the Biden administration, to the extent they're paying attention, which is not much, they'll tell you that egg prices are high because avian flu, and that's a completely natural virus just like COVID. The price have nothing to do with chicken farms burning down. Again, not that anyone in the government tracks that kind of thing. Why would they? Because nothing like that could ever happen. Settle down, QAnon! And a lot of people, particularly the national news media, people who could not identify a chicken if it didn't come with dipping sauce, are satisfied with that explanation. But we noticed that some farmers who deal with chickens every day are not convinced. Some chicken farmers have noticed something odd. Their chickens aren't laying eggs or as many eggs. And these chickens don't appear sick with avian flu. They're not dying. They're still alive. They're just not producing eggs. Now, healthy hens lay eggs on a regular basis every 24 to 26 hours. But suddenly, chicken owners all over the country, not all of them, but a lot of them, are reporting they're not getting any eggs or as many. So what's causing that? Clearly, something's causing that. Some have concluded their chicken feed may be responsible. Watch.
Is the commercial feed the reason so many people's chickens have not been laying at all? This is a question that I am asking myself, and I have seen all over TikTok, Facebook, everywhere. I'm talking about chickens, tons of people who are having no eggs for 6-7 months. Like, this is not normal. I have at least 60 hens that should be laying. I have a flock of roughly 100, and I was getting 2 to 3 eggs in the summer. All summer long, I genuinely think it's the feed, especially after seeing so many people have the same problem, switching to a local feed and it fixing itself.
Really quick. So why'd we just put that clip on TV? Because that chicken owner speaks for all chicken owners because she's the world's greatest expert on avian questions? Probably not. But because the people who should be keeping track of what's going on are clearly not keeping track of what's going on because they just don't care. And so instead of going to the usual sources at the Ag Department or calling the White House press office, we decided to listen to people who actually have chickens. And that one, for example, the lady you just saw says she switched her chicken feed and it solved her problem. Her chickens began laying eggs once again immediately. Now, the specific brand of feed referenced in that video is called Producer's Pride. It's made by Purina. Most chicken feed brands are made by Purina. Purina also makes Producer's Pride. That's the cattle feed, recently subject to a recall after regulators linked the product to a series of unexplained cattle deaths. It was removed from shelves because there was a good chance you shouldn't be feeding it to livestock.
Wow. Of course, we've been watching that over the last few days as well and reporting on it on the Worldview Report. Again, folks, just because we don't report it different things here in this show, this is only 55 minutes or whatever it is a day. I'm doing 4 hours of TV a day. So not everything gets reported in this hour. Doesn't mean we haven't reported it somewhere else. We've been reporting a lot of this, but we do try to make sure we highlight some of the biggest stories here at some point. And as you know, I've been busy with my series on Andrew Jackson. We'll say more about that in a minute. Leo, you and I have been reporting on this on the Worldview Report for a while. But now this has finally made Fox News.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there in that segment by Tucker. Number one, he's absolutely right. If you raise chickens, which I don't, but in my area, it's perfectly legal to raise chickens, and several of my neighbors do. And the ones that are having the best luck with egg production right now are the ones who are buying their feed from smaller mom-and-pop operations, maybe up to medium-sized type operations. Stay away from the large commercial-grade chicken feed. Purina is, I think, the largest. And if you go to, say, Tractor Supply or Rural King or one of these chain farming outlets, retail outlets, more than likely those are the brands that you're going to find. You have to find mom and pops, and that takes a little research, but they are out there if you search. And, my neighbor has 10 or 12 laying birds, hens, and they're getting 8 to 9 eggs a day. Right now. In fact, they told us, come on over and get some eggs. You know, we have more than we can handle. And so, but isn't it interesting that it's the big corporations, it's who are fighting this war on food. We've seen it. Remember that story back in the spring, Brannon, where the potash producer out of Canada, they were supposedly delivering potash to the United States, and right before it got across the border, there was a major train derailment, and they lost tons of this fertilizer, potash fertilizer. And this was the biggest producer of potash fertilizer in North America. We see the same type of things going on in Europe right now, over there. So the more you can do business with small companies, mom and pops, the better.
Well, and I just got a text from one of the alumni for our Worldview Weekend training a few years ago. And Heidi writes to me in this text, listening to your program today, and I can personally attest to the chicken feed problems. We have over 100 laying hens, and I've been getting about 1/3 or a half as many eggs as we should be. Started adding to my feed last week and bulking it up with other things and now getting almost twice as many eggs. Many of my friends that have chickens have been having the same issues as well. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com and wvwtvstore.com. wvwtvstore.com. All right, so we just got a report from one of our Worldview weekend training seminar alumni. They're having the same problem, bulking it up with other feed, and things now are getting almost twice as many eggs. Many of my friends that also have chickens have been having issues with their chickens laying eggs as well. Let's talk a little bit before we move into another topic. Well, let me just finish this one up. Leo, clearly this is a manufactured food crisis. They're trying to control the food, control the finances, and they're doing both at the same time. So what is the statistical probability, Leo, that we would be seeing a food crisis and a financial crisis both at the same time, both that we can prove are manufactured?
Not very high. And if we think back to what the World Economic Forum is, it is the world's largest organization pushing public private partnerships, which is the big government working hand in glove with big corporations to bring about a specific agenda. That agenda is control and one world governance. So why would we not suspect that the largest corporations would be working hand in glove to bring about a food crisis that would then lead to greater control? You know, people like Bill Gates, George Soros, they're all investing in this. You know, Bill Gates is invested in these killer vaccines. He's also invested in fake meat, lab-grown meat, and U.S. farmland, which, as you said, he's pulling it off the market so that ranchers who were farming that land are now kicked off in many cases. And so we then have what? Rising meat prices. We now suddenly have demand for his fake meat where there was no demand before. It'll be the same thing with eggs. You watch. They will have some sort of synthetic egg to put in its place after, you know, they've done a job on all of the natural eggs and nobody can afford them anymore because there's just simply not enough to fulfill the demand. And so, you know, on the one hand, you have the governments of the Netherlands and the UK, Canada, Trudeau. They're all talking about banning certain fertilizers, taking very productive farmland off the market, culling the livestock herds. So you've got the governments who are infiltrated by the World Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab has bragged about that. You've got the governments, the puppets of his organization, telling us what they want to do. And so then we should be shocked when there is some unexplained phenomena like food processing plants, egg plants burning to the ground in record numbers, and the media, which, guess what? The media is also in the hands of about six or seven mega corporations. So we should not be shocked that the media is not covering any of this. And I've often said that the bias of the corporate media is not always what they tell us, but what they don't tell us. It's bias by omission. And so, yeah, this is what's going on. You've got big government working with the big corporations to further this World Economic Forum, United Nations, Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, sinister agenda. And it all boils down to how can we take ownership of much of the world's assets, but that which we can't own, we'll figure out a way to make sure it's controlled by us.
Well, and we're getting reports that some of these people connected to some of these farming outlets are tied back to the World Economic Forum as board members or such things. You're hearing the same
Absolutely, yes.
All right. We're also
BlackRock. You know, they own a little bit of every company.
Yeah, don't they, though?
And Larry Fink, the CEO, is on the board of the World Economic Forum.
We also are seeing a New York Post article coming from a survey that Americans, despite the inflation, they see the greatest threat to America as the government. The lack of leadership and our government is the greatest threat we're facing. you know, all of the cards are lining up, if you will, for a civil war in America, where the average American is gonna turn massively against the federal government, as well they should. If you read our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, and read people like Andrew Jackson and his farewell address, they're about to realize they have been lied to, slaughtered, murdered, brainwashed by a federal government. I mean, there's still plenty to go around with the state governments, but the federal government is the source of most of the problems because they use their taxation, the money they steal from the American people, they use it to then bribe the states to do their bidding, which is exactly what Andrew Jackson in his farewell address warned. And
it's even worse than that, Brandon. You've got them using our tax dollars to destroy our freedoms, putting them into, you know, 87,000 IRS agents, you know, ATF agents knocking on people's doors and asking, oh, how many guns do you have? Let's see them. Can you please show them to me? FBI totally out of control, yet you don't see any cuts there. We've got an increase in the FBI budget in this last budget that was passed. And then you got all these pension funds, which are owned by companies like BlackRock, using people's pension money against them. So it's coming from both sides, again, public and private, using our own money to destroy our freedoms and destroy our republic.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Let me play this. No, that's too long. I just need the clip. Logan, are you in there? Are you in the control room, Logan? Ask him if he can play the clip. Ask him if he can get the clip I sent him of Jesse Ventura today. Tell him I sent it to him. Ask him if he can get that clip and play it. And let me know when you can. Jesse Ventura has a clip out, and I don't agree with everything Jesse Ventura says, but that's okay. I'm sure he doesn't agree with everything I say. But the former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, he has talked openly about the fact that when he became governor, he was brought down to the basement at the state capitol in St. Paul, and a half circle of about 20 CIA guys wanted to know how he won the election. Have you seen that clip?
No, I have not.
Yeah, well, we're going to try to pull it up here and play it. You know, what's interesting is I've had people in key places tell me the CIA has penetrated every state capital in the nation.
I 100% believe that.
And this, again, is what Andrew Jackson was warning about and how our population would be controlled by a corrupt central government. And, of course, the president that created the CIA went on later in an op-ed that finally was pulled within hours of bemoaning the creation of the CIA. It's become America's Gestapo. I have warned that I believe our elections are being controlled by the CIA and the deep state, the intelligence arena. They're the ones really controlling the elections, I believe. They have practiced...
Oh, Brandon.
They practiced a color revolution overseas, and then they brought it home. And you and I and others were warning about this before the 2020 election. If you go back in our archives, you'll see where we were warning about a color revolution in America and this happening, and it did. I mentioned that with Mike Lindell on the platform at our annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend last October. Someone I've known for 15 years I've known very well, who was in a very, very, very important position in one of the big three NSA agencies. And you find it, Logan? Yes, where Jesse Ventura is talking about being brought to the basement in St. Paul. Jesse Ventura. He's the bald guy. You know, Logan's so young, he doesn't even know what Jesse Ventura looks like. Help him out. Huh? Yeah, send it to you today.
No.
Yeah, you do. What was I saying? So they're one of the big agencies, big three, you know, that you'd think of. Retired, said to me to my face after my comments about a color revolution in the intelligence arena, said, "You are so over the target, you have no idea. But I can't say more for fear I would go to jail because of things I was likely read in on." So when I have people who retired in key positions in the intelligence arena telling me, when you say the CIA and the intelligence arena are the ones rigging these elections, and you're over the target more than you know, And then you have Jesse Ventura saying, I was brought down to the basement in St. Paul when I became governor. 20 CIA people, they're wanting to know how I won the election. You know, we have to understand, this is the very cabal that Andrew Jackson, Ronald Reagan, Nixon, and so many people warned about.
And as well as Eisenhower warned about the military-industrial complex.
Yes.
John F. Kennedy warned about the secret societies taking over and having undue influence over public elected officials. And so we've had many warnings, yes, Brannon. And so I really commend you for doing that the series on Andrew Jackson, and invite people to read. Some people are visual and listen. They like to listen. Others like to watch videos. Others like to read. So you and I came together and put together people can read as well as just watch or listen.
Yeah, and what kind of response? At leoholman.com, leoholman.com. At leoholman.com, you have the article. I can quickly show it here. It is, okay, you have the Jesse Ventura clip? Okay, go ahead and roll it. Go ahead and roll that, please.
You know the CIA is implanted in your state government?
No.
So they're violating their mission statement. Well, in Minnesota, only the governor and the chief of staff are aware of it. That there's an implanted CIA person in Minnesota government at a level to where he doesn't come and go with elections. It's a permanent position. Why? 1 month after I took office, I was requested to the basement of the Capitol where I was interrogated by 23 members of the Central Intelligence Agency, and I was the governor. And they put me in a chair at the end, and they were in a big half circle around me. And when I thought back to the questioning, it was all about how I got elected. He was right on. They wanted to know what I did. I don't know, maybe to stop it from ever happening again. Who knows?
There you go.
Wow.
Now, I found that clip, and that is, again, consistent with reports I've received from other people who are retired military, high-ranking, key people, that this is, you know, this is multiple people telling me the same thing. The CIA are permanent people, and they are in your state legislature. They're there, they're overseeing, and they are controlling. And now I think we realize how they carried off the voter election fraud across the nation when you have the Central Intelligence Agency or other rogue agencies that are on the ground in our states. This is well beyond what the average person is thinking. This is not done by your local Democrats. They're too stupid, okay? These people are too stupid to do this. And I'm telling you now that the deep state, the intelligence arena, picks the Republicans they want. You know, why do you have some Republicans that keep winning, like that little girl, Lindsey Graham? What is
Brian Kemp.
Brian Kemp. How does he keep winning and winning by more, even though his poll numbers keep crashing, he keeps winning by more? These are all, in my opinion, shills, puppets of the Central Intelligence Agency and the what other agencies that are made up of that are controlling these people. And of course, they're very aware what they're doing. We come back, I want to share with you my interview, exclusive interview last night with not only Dr. Simone Gold, but Dr. Wolf. Don't go away. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com. Again, I don't play that clip to say I believe or endorse everything Jesse Ventura has ever said, but I have no. I'm saying it's his testimony is consistent with what I've heard from other people. Not only that, some of the things that he did put out on his conspiracy show have since now been validated as actually being true. I'm not saying everything he ever reported on those shows is true, but some of the things he talked about a few years ago in those shows turn out they're actually now have been validated as being a reality. So anyway, very interesting again, and it shows you there are those of us on the left and the right and the center that are all coming to some of the same conclusions. If you go to WVWTV.com, we'll show the screen. If you go to WVWTV.com, there is an interview there, speaking of people who have originally come from the left, Dr. Naomi Wolf, who worked with the Clinton-Gore campaign and Al Gore. Well, I like to interview her because she comes from a very progressive background, but she's come our way and one of the leading voices on the COVID shot and that it's killing people. And she's now said on my show last night that this is mass genocide. It's a CCP bioweapon that the White House has been captured by the CCP. These government agencies and organizations are tied directly back to the CCP. And this is an attack by the CCP on killing Americans. Well, this is exactly what I reported with the general out of China years ago in his speech, that they would kill off two-thirds of Americans. The Chinese said this, kill off two-thirds of Americans, keep a third, and those third would be the servants of the superior race, the Chinese. This is all consistent, also consistent with the 1999 document, Unrestricted Warfare, that I've been talking about for years and years and years. It's all consistent. And last night, she talked about her new book that goes into the reports that Pfizer wanted to keep hidden for 75 years. And when you hear what she has in this 500-page plus or 700-page document that she's pulled together with experts, you'll find out why they wanted to keep this secret for 75 years. The same reason they don't want to tell you the truth about who killed Kennedy, because our government killed a sitting president. And that's why we have a deep state CIA that's been running this country since then, except for when it got away from them, i.e. Ronald Reagan getting elected, but they made sure George H. was right there by his side. Or when Trump got elected. And now they seem to have perfected stealing elections. And I'm telling you right now, the CIA is running your country. And you and I only live because they let us live. The CIA could spray something, have something sprayed in my face, walking in a store or a mall, and I would fall over like I had a heart attack. It would not show up in the autopsy. And the Central Intelligence Agency or whatever amalgamation of combined agencies have come to do this stuff, whether it's to Breitbart, and many people I've talked to that know him believe that he was murdered. They only let me live and you live, Leo, because they want us alive. They let us be alive. But if our voice got too big, our footprint got too big, we would be dead. And so you ought to watch the interview I did last night with Dr. Naomi Wolf at WVWTV.com. Also last night, an exclusive. Dr. Simone Gold's first TV interview responding to the attempted hostile takeover of America's frontline doctors. That is her first TV interview, and she gave it to me. And I think you'll see why. And you know why they let, you know why these people come to me? Because I actually let them talk and don't interrupt them like Sean Hannity. You want to comment on these two interviews, Leo?
I didn't really know what to make of the Simone Gold interview. I'm going to be honest there. The other interview, I'm going to be honest as well. Naomi Wolf, I see her interviewed all over TV and the internet. That was the best interview that she has given since she began this crusade against the experimental mRNA gene therapy injections. You let her talk. I see her on other formats where Naomi talks kind of like I do, a little bit of a halting delivery where you can tell she's thinking of something but hasn't quite formulated how to say it. Some interviewers take those little pauses to cut in and interject their own opinions, and therefore she loses her train of thought, and you never hear what brilliance was about to come out of Naomi. Last night, I saw some things that even I, you know, was learning things from, and I've been researching this from the get-go. So I commend you, Brandon, for letting Naomi be Naomi, and sort of, you know, patiently waiting through those hesitations, and then boom, she just laid it out there. She didn't pull any punches. Anybody who says we shouldn't be talking to Naomi Wolf, oh, she's a liberal, she's going to turn against us, she can't be trusted, I don't even want to talk to you. Listen to that. Watch that interview with Brandon last night from beginning to end, and then tell me if you still feel the same way. This woman is a patriot. She's on fire for truth and justice, and she gets emotional sometimes. I mean, she's either the real deal and super intelligent, or she's a great actress. Because I have seen her in many, many interviews, and that was the best, Brandon. Congratulations on getting her to really show us the real Naomi. And she even said at the end, when you asked her, are these international criminals going to be brought to justice? Are we going to see justice in this? And she thought about it. She could have given a pat answer and said, oh, yes, they're going to be brought to justice. We're going to have a new Nuremberg trials, and they're all going to be hung. You hear a lot of that type of talk. And we can all hope that that will be the outcome. But so far, Brandon, we have seen no indications that that will be the case. And so she thought about your question, and she answered it honestly, got a little bit emotional. You could see it in her eyes. And she said, you know what? There needs to be a spiritual solution to this. It is so much bigger than what we can handle.
Absolutely. Look at this screenshot. This is Leo's latest article, U.S. Founding Fathers and Early Presidents in Shock After Touring D.C. It's about my monologue the other day. Real quick, Leo, it's at leohoman.com. What did one congresswoman say about this article you wrote?
I'll read it to you right here.
And who was the congresswoman, can you say?
I can't say because I haven't cleared it with her. But she said that, well, you should have given me a little bit more warning, Brandon, as I try to find it on my phone.
Basically,
she said, thank you, Leo, for sending me this. This is the culmination of Brandon's life's work.
Yeah. Well, it's a team effort. All right, folks. Thanks, Leo. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brandon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on BCY America.